A study of Acts chapter 20. We've not moved away from those verses because the Holy Spirit has been brooding, hovering over verses 1 up to verse 5. That we began to study now for the past 2 weeks. Brethren, there is a difference between reading and studying. Yes, I was waiting for you. No, just to take a step forward. No, don't worry. You focus on hearing the word, leave everybody else. This is a discipleship gathering. So anyone who's a disciple will know why they came. There's a difference between reading and studying the word of God. You don't just read for your exam. You study for the exam. The Bible is the manual for life. When we study this manual, can I have a copy, please? It puts us in a very good stead in life. So we could gloss over the words, or we could stay over the words and dig. And dig and dig deep until we hear what God is saying, until we hit and strike gold. I had the story of a man. He was told that there was gold on the piece of land that he just bought. So he bought the land, invested, and decided, yeah, because he was told the gold was buried down in the land. So he bought. Was happy, he started digging and digging and digging and digging. He didn't find gold. He dug and dug and dug. He didn't find gold. He dug and he dug again. He didn't find gold. And dug and dug. And then he gave up. And he decided he was going to sell that land. That, well, maybe this is a bad buy. Counted his losses, sold the land, and left. The person who just bought the land now decided, well, I was told there was gold here, and the former landlord did not find anything. Let me just dig a little. And he dug a little. The man who dug up to that point gave up just about when he was about striking gold. He dug, and somebody else came. And reaped. You will not sow and somebody else will reap. You will not sow, and when it's almost time for your harvest, you will give up and somebody else will come and take and reap. It will not happen to you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. So that's one of the ways we have learned to study the scriptures. Just keep digging and digging and digging until you have a release to move. Because we might be running the race of time. And according to the time, we're just following the calendar, but not God's agenda. Those are two things. So I think that's just a word for somebody. You have calculated and you said, well, this is the time you allocated and the time is up and you're moving on to other things. No! The Spirit of God is saying, you stay. Stay until you break through. Amen. Acts 20, verse 1. I read from the English Standard Version. The version you all have is the Amplified Version. Point of correction, it's not the New King James Version, which is indicated on the outline. So you can take the copy with you today. Look at those corresponding verses on the outline, and you can dig further. But let's read verse 1. And after the uproar ceased, Paul sent for the disciples, and after encouraging them, he said farewell and departed for Macedonia. When he had gone through those regions and had given them much encouragement, he came to Greece. There he spent 3 months. And when a plot was made against him by the Jews as he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. Verse 4. So Pater, the son of Pyrrhus, accompanied him, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus, Secundus, Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and the Asians, Tychicus and Trophimus. These went on ahead and were waiting for us at Troas. Amen. From this set of scriptures, we came up with something highlighted to us there. If you count the names mentioned there, you will see 7 companions that accompanied Paul on his missionary journey mentioned here. And we began to look at these 7 individuals. And from there, because we dug, we began to look through just the names, but we began to see some revelation through searching out the names and also what each one of them individually stood for, represented, and later also accomplished by walking and accompanying Paul. And we came up with the acronym. Who remembers the acronym to help us remember the 7? SASGIT. Somebody say SASGIT. Yeah, you were met thousands of miles away when we came up with SASGIT. So let's start with S. S-A-S. The first S is? Sopater. Please, wake up. Sopater. Second, A is? Aristarchus. S is? Secundus. T, G is? Gaius. T is? Timotheus or Timothy. And the other T is, second T is? Tychicus. And the last T, Trophimus. We stopped last week at Gaius. All right, let's just draw some principle. You need these 7 companions in life. That's the title. So this is part three. You will get a proper understanding if you go back, listen to part 1. Listen to part 2, listen to part 3. So, we draw out some principles from each of these names. For example, the first S stands for Sopater, which means what? Echo it. It means Savior. It means, all right, you need, okay? Let me tell us something. As the Spirit of God is speaking, we will hear the same thing. We will hear different things. It's how hungry you are that you will hear deeper than somebody just hearing on the surface. So whatever came to you when you heard these names is what I want you to just shout back. Okay? S stands for Sopater. A stands for? Which means? What? Best ruler. And what's the best ruler? The peace of the Lord. Let it always rule your heart. Accompany you anywhere you go. Don't go where the peace of God does not rule your heart to go. And the second S, Secundus, means what? To be blessed. To prosper. To be empowered to prosper. And we said, always make sure that you company with blessed people. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not sit in the seat of the scornful. He does not stand in the way of sinners, and he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be, yeah, planted by the rivers, like a tree planted by rivers, uh-huh, whose fruits, leaves will not fail, and he will always bring forth his fruit in his season. That is the kind of people you should move with. And make sure you are one of that kind too. Anyone who will be wise will do what? He will company with wise people. And anyone who wants to be destroyed, you just move with fools. Opposite of blessed is cursed. There are people who are literally walking under a curse because they violated some principles of blessings. You don't want to walk with such. This is not being discriminatory. This is just being wise. And it's just simply obeying the scriptures. Right? Because people get sentimental, very, very sentimental, when it comes to some things. Like I remembered when I didn't know what I know now, I used to argue, and I will really argue emotionally. I didn't used to talk much. I'm telling you, you won't believe this, I tell you. You know, I used to be very quiet, observant. I don't put me in a Bible study. I'll listen to everybody. I won't talk. But I'm imbibing everything. But when it comes up with this issue, I will talk. And what's the issue? That why can't a Christian marry a non-Christian? And I will be very vocal. That what are you talking about? How can the unbeliever know the Lord if a believer does not have a relationship with them? What is wrong? There's nothing wrong with a Christian marrying a non-Christian. Even when the scripture says that you should not, was the fellowship of light with darkness. I wouldn't have that. That used to be my folly. I know better now. How many Christians are here who are not married? Please don't be shy. Would you like to marry a non-Christian? And I will tell you, in the history of our fellowship over the years, I remembered somebody who reminded me of me. He too was arguing with everybody that there's nothing wrong with a Christian marrying a non-Christian. Nothing. Nothing. He wasn't married at that time. Shortly after that, he got married, and he married a Christian. So I challenged him. Why didn't you marry an unbeliever? Hypocrisy. I read something recently, but I just avoid some silly controversies that don't, that's all they do is gender strife. But I just heard about somebody who was preaching against something and finally confessed that actually all the while he was preaching against this, he was actually practicing it. Yeah, he was preaching that people shouldn't pay tithe, and he kept paying his tithe while he was preaching against it. Paul said, "Be ye imitators of me. Follow me as I follow Christ." Please tell somebody beside you or behind you or wherever they are, watch who you follow. Please ask them, who are you following on Twitter? Are you following Sopata? Or Aristarchus or Secundus? Yeah. Come on, let's move on. All right, we stopped at Gaius. Gaius means what? Yeah, Gaius means Lord of hosts. Lord of hosts. You need the Lord of hosts to fight your battles everywhere you go. Okay, so let's start from there today. I want to read to us Psalm 24. Who is this Lord of hosts? And then we move on. Today, hopefully, we'll cover the final T's. We dot all the T's and all the I's. All right? Okay, Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? he that hath clean hands and hath a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek God, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? Please, let's read together from there. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and even lift them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Who knows what Selah means? In musical terms, the clashing of the cymbals. You know when the beats are going and go, pause and think in spiritual terms. Okay, so Gaius means Lord, and we found out that the man Gaius was a very hospitable man. The Bible tells us that he was very hospitable, not just to Paul, but to the church. And that was where we stopped. You put that together, you get Lord of hosts. So that's where we got that from. And in Acts chapter 19, verse 29, he had actually not just a companion. Now, you don't need fair weather companions. You need people who will even stand with you, even in your suffering. Not that they will abandon you when suffering starts. Look at this in verse 29 of Acts chapter 19. Let's see something else about Gaius before we move to Timotheus. The Bible says, and the whole city was filled with confusion. They caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions, and they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul wished to go in among the crowd, the disciples would not let him. And even some of the chief of Asia, you know, they told him to run away. But who did they catch? They caught Gaius and Aristarchus. If you read later, they suffered with Paul, but they did not forsake him. They suffered for his sake, did not forsake him. They took blows because of Paul. They did not forsake him. Because when you read later on, look at the book of 3 John chapter 1, the Bible tells us something there. Even John testified of Gaius. 3 John and 1. Is it on the screen? 3 John. 3 John, not John chapter 3. 3 John. 3 John. Is that comforted? Is that comforted? No. Okay. It's the sister of comforted. All right. The elderly elder of the church addresses this letter to the beloved, the esteemed Gaius, whom I truly love. That's another disciple, apostle, testifying of Gaius. All right, let's move on. So, who's the next person? Timotheus. Timotheus literally means honoring God or dear to God. Honoring God or dear to God. You need that kind of company. People who will honor your God. Listen. I don't know why I'm going back again to the issue of marriage. One of the things with marriage is that when two individuals come together, sorry, lady. Oh, I think I know why I'm talking about marriage. Today is the 10th year wedding anniversary of Mr. and Mrs. Adebola. Oh, and they've both gone out now. The wife has gone out. The husband has gone out. Can you see the consequences of marriage? Daddy has gone to look after the crying baby. And mommy, I don't know, maybe she's gone to go and get milk for the baby. Right? That is the reality of marriage. So I was saying two things. Whoever you marry, you don't only marry them, you marry their God. If their God is an idol, that is your father-in-law. And one of the things about father-in-laws is that they have a right to visit anytime. Even if they are not visiting you physically, they can be visiting you in the spirit. Please, somebody tell somebody who's not married yet, watch the God of who you marry. Please tell them now. Are you scared? Watch the God of who you marry. Please tell them, because that is going to be your father-in-law. You marry someone who does not honor the same God you honor. What fellowship does light have with darkness? Welcome back, Daddy. We just gossiped about you. Where's Mommy? Where's Mommy? It's your wife. I'm calling Mommy. Let's have fun tonight. Sorry? She stepped outside. Do you know why she stepped outside? You know why? Okay. Do you want to say it for the whole world to hear? Or we keep our secret secret? Oh, let's keep our secret secret. Okay. Watch the God of who you marry. You don't only marry an individual, you marry their God. A friend of mine many years ago, and a minister of God too, he fell in love with this lovely damsel. And this damsel, a sister in church, even her pastor testified, oh, that, wow, that sister is a lovely sister. The pastor even used a term that scared me. He said, you see, that sister is of mine you want to marry? I'm her pastor. I'm actually spiritually in love with her. Ah, you see that? Can you see your reaction? You see your reaction? What have we not heard in Christianity? The pastor said, I'm spiritually in love with her. So watch it. Watch this, my daughter, you want to marry. Watch my daughter you want to marry. Anyway, he got involved with the daughter and he kept telling me about the pastor's spiritually in love daughter. And kept telling, you know, sharing his escapades. One day I saw him, middle of the night. I said, where are you going? He said, well, I'll tell you later. Then he whispered to me, he was traveling in the middle of the night. It was around 10, 11 p.m. He was going 3.5 hours journey, almost 4 hours, in the middle of the night to another city. I'm not going to tell you the name of the country, but woe can betide you when you travel at night in that country. 3.5 hours. 4 hours. I didn't hear anything there, so we're going to ignore whatever has been said here. No street lights. He traveled. So it was later he told me. I think months after. I said, where did you go? You say, remember that day. My fiancée told me that I've bought her I think maybe he gave her a bag or something. Can't remember. Not accurate story now from now, but just get the principle of the story. Bought a bag. I know, and then she needed the shoes to match the bag. So he traveled, risked his life, armed rubber-laden way to go get a bag. Sorry, shoe that matches the bag. Somebody say, love. I'm in love. Some brothers are agreeing here. They will do it. It's love. Okay. I said, wow, you must really love this girl. Next time again, he went. I just noticed his furniture changed. Change your furniture. He said, yes. Even his, you know, sound system, music system. Please remind me, I want to tell them that story I shared with you yesterday. You know, one of the sweet things about marriage is that you just have to keep telling stories to keep the marriage going. Just to keep the fire, you know, fun. Because if you keep saying the things she's had before, you get it? Please notice somewhere. Store it in your hard drive. So I was asking, what's going on here? Well, he said, my fiancé does not like my furniture. My fiancé said I must get this specs of sound system and everything. Anyway, cut a long story short, because I know you want the story longer than that, but I will cut it. At the end of the day, the fiancé said, sorry, I can't marry you. You are saying that, what did he say? Oh, yeah. So they said, I can't marry you. And of course, my friend was heartbroken and everything. But I told him, I said, when you were madly in love, I had this caution in my spirit. But, you know, when a man is in love, please, they don't hear. Not just a man and a woman too. They are not Berean Christians anymore. They don't have an open mind. Their mind is short. I said, so, I knew you wouldn't hear, but God told me that this girl's family, they worship the god of Mammon. Money. And he said, how did I know? That's true. And then somehow I met someone who knew the friend, who knew the girl and her family, and said, wow. The person didn't know, we were just talking. I said, wow, I know there's this sister, blah, 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 blah. Wow, they love money in their family. Money, that's all we think about, money. I said, well, God delivered you from a mammonic father-in-law. Well, several years passed. He's married now, and he's happily married. Yeah, he's posing with his wife to me now and all that, as if I don't know his story. Anyway, let's leave it. Let's move on. Somebody say mercy. Yeah, greatest is mercy. Greatest is mercy. There are some things God delivers us from. Things to come that we don't know. So, how did I get there? Honoring God. So you need a companion that will honor your God. Now, one thing about Timotheus was that he was your typical day mixed race guy. His father was Greek and his mother was a Jew. A half caste, we've been told politically correctness. Don't use the word half caste anymore. Mixed race. I don't know which is better. But whatever. He wasn't just a disciple, he wasn't just your regular disciple. Let's go to Acts chapter 16. You see the reference scriptures there. Go to Acts chapter 16. And let's look at verse 1 and 2. Where did Paul meet Timotheus? He met Timotheus on one of his previous evangelistic mission trips. He met him when he got to Derbe and Lystra. The Bible says Paul came to Derbe and Lystra A disciple was there. Please note that word disciple. He was a disciple. Named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman, who was a believer. Please note that. The guy had a pedigree. Birth. That's a big birth. His father was Greek. He, verse 2, look at that. Now let's look at the character of Timothy. Of a Timothy you need in your life. Or a Timothy you need to be to someone. He was well spoken of. Somebody say character. By the brethren at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him. But there was a problem. Do you know the problem? The guy was, remember, is a mixed race, Greek and Jewish, which meant he wasn't circumcised according to the law. And that was a big problem then, back then. Big problem to the Jews. In fact, you shouldn't. A circumcised person, was that bad? Company with someone uncircumcised. So there was a barrier, a kind of a cultural and even significantly a spiritual barrier. But the guy was a disciple, excuse me. You will later understand when Paul is writing that before God there's neither Greek nor Jew. There's neither circumcised nor circumcised. Every one of us before God, as long as you're a believer in Christ, that's what matters. Every other thing is secondary. But Paul here and Timothy, they had to come to a compromise. And this is one of the characteristics of a Timothy. The guy was ready to sacrifice because of Paul. Paul took him, excuse me, this is not a baby, and circumcised him because of the Jews that were in those places. Because all of them knew his father was a Greek, which meant automatically he's not circumcised. He went the whole length to sacrifice just to company with Paul. Remember the rules of company, of companionship? Number one was one of the things we shared. Don't force. Right? Companionship is not by force. Okay? Choose your companions and let your companions choose you. It's not by force. That's a sign of humility. That's a sign of gentleness. That's a sign of honor. Remember, his name meant honoring God. He was ready to honor the God who actually spoke and commanded the Jews to be circumcised just because of company. What are you ready to give up? Circumcise, hold back, just because of companionship. At that point, maybe some people will say, you know what? Sorry. We can't company together anymore. There's sacrifice in companionship. A true friend, the Bible says, loves at all times. All. A friend is not the one who will deny you because now you went to do something you shouldn't have done. You're not my friend anymore. That's the kind of language you hear in kindergarten playgrounds. And in a spiritual kindergarten, you still hear such. I'm not your friend anymore. Yeah, that's it. Excuse me. Where's the place of traveling in prayer for someone you call a brother? Who's a friend? Not just a brother, but also a friend. Excuse me, you know there are levels of relationship. We're all brethren in church. Are we all friends? No, come on, let's be real. No. When I say friends, I'm not saying we're unfriendly, but you know, friendship is another level. Jesus said, all right, from now, at the point, after the disciples have walked with him, I'm not calling you servants anymore. I'm not calling you friends. Why? Because now I'm intimate with you. I can tell you things. So that's how you know a friend. That was Timotheus. Well spoken of. Submissive. He honored God. Let me tell us something about honoring. You see, Timothy is the kind of... Paul-Timothy relationship is the kind of, it should be, is a kind of a model of what a mentor and a mentee should be like. It's a classic, if anyone can study their relationship, you can write a book on mentoring. I'm telling you, a secular book using the principle of Paul and Timothy. Maybe I've just given somebody a book to write now. Because when you start collecting royalty, remember me. I'm just joking. If you like, don't remember me. Freely we receive, freely we give. That's the extent he went. He was a mentor to Paul. If you read accompanying scriptures, mentee to Paul, Acts chapter 19, verse 22. But let me say something about mentoring and being mentored. According to Romans chapter 14, verse 12, every one of us individually, we are going to give account. Please bring that scripture up. As I mentioned, just bring it up quickly because of our time. I'm not in a hurry. Lord Jesus, help me. I will not hurry. Okay? Because, you see, every one of us, Romans chapter 14, I believe, verse 12, every one of us will give account. Right? Each one of us shall give an account of himself in the day of judgment. But there's something that we at times don't understand. When God gives someone spiritual oversight over you, that person also, apart from giving account of themselves before God, they have to account for you. Let's see Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. And there's something that I probably want to live with us here. Because, you know, at times, we may not fully understand the price of such a relationship between a Paul and a Timothy. The sacrifice is on both sides. Okay? Now, Hebrews 13, verse 17, obey your spiritual leaders and submit to them continually, recognizing their authority over you. That's what you will see in a Timothy to Paul. We'll see later. Okay? For they are constantly keeping watch over your souls and guarding your spiritual welfare as men who will have to render an account of their trust. Do your own part. Okay? The part of the mentor or spiritual oversight leader is to constantly keep watch, account, guide, lead, instruct, correct, rebuke, pray. You know, just name it. It comes at a price. I can tell you. But this is your part. Do your part. Let them do this with gladness and not with sigh and groaning, for that would not be profitable to you either. We're stopping today with Timotheus. We'll expand on Timotheus as the Spirit will help us. But let me tell you something. When you look at a Paul and a Timothy relationship, Timothy had so much walked with Paul, had so much submitted to Paul. Because you see, it wasn't Paul that Timothy was honoring. It was the God that called Paul. He so much walked with Paul that when Paul was going to hand over churches, Timothy was the first person, as young as he was, that he began to give the responsibility. He sent him to Corinth. He sent him to the church at Colossae. He sent him, you know, to the Colossians. He sent him to the Corinthians. I wrote it down because I did a study on that relationship sometime. And it wasn't, you know, a relationship of competition. Everybody knew who they were. Everybody knew their place. So much more that he walked with him. He had sent him many times. We will look at that next time. I don't want us to rush it. But the challenge and the onus is to us. Because, you know, some of those things, we try to say them in parables. We try to say them plainly. But we need to recognize, okay, I just want to read the, yeah, he sent him to the Colossians, he sent him to the Thessalonians, he sent him to the Corinthians. That's why he wrote a letter, two epistles, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. He was mentoring Timothy and telling him how to oversee the churches. He was, according to Bible history and scholars, a bishop. A bishop. At the point, Paul said, we're going to see this, where he said, if you see Timothy, literally this is what he was saying. He's going to tell you, he does everything I do. He's not a clone. No. He was a disciple. But he understand authority and how to honor God. Because it is not man. You know, I know these things, people take it to the extreme. No. A man who, people, let me just use that, people who are laboring because they will give account. You know, this is a week of stories. But, you know, when we get to this point every year, you know, I usually sit down and reflect. And my wife and I will reflect. And we'll think, we look backwards, we look at the journey. Because I'm telling you, if you don't learn to look backwards, the Bible says we should forget things that are behind. Yes, forget the accomplishments, forget the victories, forget the trophies, forget the certificate, but don't forget God's mercies. Don't forget God's goodness. We look back, we reflect, we just cannot but thank God. And it is so humbling. So humbling. I was on the phone today to a young man then that God just supernaturally connected us with and joined us in the house until, you know, we grew up to be 7. He became an assistant, you know, to us then when the church was starting. And later when we held the first public service 14 years ago, he said a statement. He said, look, we're going and leaving the house now. We had been in the house for almost 2 years, fellowshipping, receiving a pattern, praying, and we're saying, God, we're not going anywhere until you send us, until you release us and you tell us to start a public and plant this church in the city. And he said something. He said, look at the 7 of us here. Mind you, the 7 of us includes my family, myself, my wife, and these 2 boys. They were little then. They didn't know anything. They were not saved. Forget it. They were not saved. You know. And so it was him and 2 other sisters. So we should look at ourselves. That whatever happens tomorrow after we've left the house and planted the church and started meeting publicly, that we should make sure we don't leave each other, no matter what. And this young man, I still remembered. He only just met someone and he heard that we were having fellowship in our house. He wasn't saved. He was confused. He wanted to know the Lord more. I still remember that day. I called him and I went to pick him down Allerton Road. I've never met him. He just told me that he's tall, he's white, that he's wearing a red jacket. I will never forget. He says, so just look out for that future where he will be standing on the road. And I spotted him when I got to Allerton Road. Drove him high. My name is Fola. My name is Matthew. Well, the church, because in all sincerity, he didn't really know what he was going to expect. I said, the church is in our living room, and it's just myself and my family. You've probably met two other people. Are you sure you still want to go with me? I asked him. I said, yeah, let him just come and see. And he stepped into our house that day. He never stepped out. He was with us against every odd. When I say odd, his family, I remembered, protested. What sort of church are you going? In somebody's house? That sounds like a cult. I heard all these things, my heart will sink. I will feel sorry for myself. I will look at the cult members. I feel sorry. We're a cult. And I feel sorry for him. He faced every barrage of attack, stayed with us, gave his heart to the Lord fully, started serving. He will do anything. He was the first evangelist that we had in Love Assembly. Matthew will literally be coming to my house in the bus, talk to somebody on the bus and invite them to church. Matthew met somebody and the person said, mocked him, mocked his Christianity and told him, okay, I will only come to your church if you follow me to my church. He said, where's your church? He said, it's a pub. Matthew followed him to the pub. He said, deal. And the guy had no choice, followed him to the church the following day. He went to the pub on Saturday night and brought him to church on Sunday morning. Through Matthew, we saw people literally from all nations. I'm giving God the glory, and through him then, started trooping in. We were not many. We held the first public meeting. We got kicked out of the first venue. Matthew was approached and he was told, stop following this man. Join this, our church. Matthew told this guy, I will never forget, you are the one that you said the other man is the real man of God, right? Don't worry. As far as I'm concerned, I'm with Fola here and I'm going nowhere. And he encouraged the few brethren, was 7, 8, that they shouldn't go. Stayed and stayed and stayed until he had to leave. When he was leaving, I remembered God revealed to us that he was going, this is a man of God, and God was going to use him. Well, let me just leave that. Today, he pastors a church that's about 400 strong in Northern Ireland. Spoke to him today. Faithful brother. Faithful. If I stand before God and I'm giving account, I will be happy. Yeah, I know him. You can Google him if I'm lying. The Reverend Matthew Milliken. Some of us have met him. Am I lying? Please, who are those who have met him? See, it's real. You met him very well. You know, what I'm just saying is that, look, there's one quality can split it into two. God is looking for tried and tested, faithful, and consistent disciples. If you ever find a companion that is tried, tested, faithful, and consistent, those are one of the seven companions. Always hold them there. Let's pray. The story. Let's pray first. After we pray, I will share the story. Thank you. They want story. It's 5 minutes past 8:30 now. Yeah, I know. No, it's the people who are agitating for story. Please pray. Be faithful first. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord. In the midst of all the humor, you are building your church. You are building your church. And you are building it, Lord, upon faithful and consistent, tried and trusted people. Because your church is people. It's not structures. It's people. Help every one of us. Please pray for yourself. That God will find you faithful. God will find you faithful. What he has called you to. You will not be hot today, cold tomorrow. You will not out of anger. Or you will not out of I've been laboring. You're about to hit gold. Get angry. In 14 years, we have seen, I tell you, but to God be the glory. The owner of his church is building his church. Please pray. Pray for yourself. Pray. All the seven qualities we see in this seven companions. Don't just ask for them. Why don't you be? Why don't you be? Like they say, it's like that attracts like. When you are faithful, you will attract faithful people. When you are committed, you will attract committed people. Brethren, to the glory of God, we are who we are and what we are today. Because of the word of God and his mercies. Lord, we are your church. Build your church. Build. And may we be found faithful to your calling and steadfast, rooted. Storms will come. Wind will blow. Rain will fall. But Father, because we are founded upon the rock, we shall not be moved. Hear me and hear the Spirit of God. You can be shaken, but don't be moved. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. The meeting is